Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's a joy to be back with you again on this Lord's Day to open up God's Word, and I would invite you now to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll also be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you'll turn in your copy of the Scriptures with me, first to Proverbs chapter 8, and also to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In your pew Bibles, that's page 732, Proverbs chapter 8. As many times as we've heard just in our time here in prayer and asking God to be near us and to be with us, I've heard the appeal and the petition for wisdom many times. We need wisdom. We need the Lord to open up our eyes to learn how to navigate His world, according to His Word, by the power of His Holy Spirit. Thanks. We need wisdom. And the good news is, as we learn in the wisdom literature of the New Testament, in the book of James, that if anyone lacks wisdom, they just should ask God, who gives liberally. And ask believing. And ask seeking and knocking and crying out for wisdom. And I've heard that here this night in our prayers. I pray that the Lord would answer our appeal to Him to give us wisdom according to His will by His Spirit working in our hearts through His Word. So let's turn our hearts now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. From my mouth will speak. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction. And not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and all judges of the earth. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Go now with me to verse 32. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Turn now with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's on page 1368 of your few Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Listen now to God's word. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is God's word. Let's give him thanks for his word together. Lord, again, we thank you for your gracious word to us this evening. That you have spoken and you have not stuttered. You've spoken clearly that we might hear. You have cried aloud for us to hear your word in Zion on this evening. Lord, open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we may gain understanding. Renew our minds that we might think differently about how we navigate this world you've created for your glory and for our joy. Lord, we pray that as our ears are opened, our eyes are open to see and to behold beautiful and wonderful things from your word. That God, we would just not simply hear, but we would listen and attend to these things, that we might walk in the paths of righteousness and justice, that we might walk in the way of life, that we might be made wise for salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King and our head, whom we love and revere and worship this evening. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you've spoken clearly in the person and the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, our ascended King. We pray in his victorious name. Amen. Again, asking God for wisdom is a request that he has promised to grant. Do you lack it? Do you need it? Ask him. Ask him with faith. Ask him, putting all your confidence in the promises that God has a good heart toward you. And when he invites you to ask him of wisdom, go to him, believing, not doubting, but fully trusting that he will give to you whatever you ask according to his will. Is it not according to his will that we should ask? Lord, give us wisdom. But where can wisdom be found? Where can wisdom be found? And what does wisdom have to offer us? Well, this evening I want us to meditate on the fact that wisdom has so much to offer us. And wisdom can be found, and wisdom wants to be found. And when we find her, as Solomon personifies wisdom as this beautiful, lovely, generous, gracious woman, that when we find her, she bestows upon us great blessings. So let's meditate and think about the blessings that wisdom bestows on those who seek her out, those who listen to her, and those who love her. So let's start right where the proverb starts. Where can wisdom be found? Can she be known? Can she be grasped? Well, the proverb starts there. Solomon asks, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift her voice? And the rhetorical question is in the affirmative. Of course. Yes. She's speaking. She's not just speaking. She's crying out. She's calling out. She's not muttering over in a corner, keeping secrets to herself, and some eavesdroppers might get a little bit here and there. No, she is heralding. She's inviting us to come to her. Does she not cry out? And does not understanding lift up her voice? It's like the town crier in the city square. Hear ye, I have free wisdom for you. Come to me. She's begging. She's crying out. She's calling out. Yes, she can be known. She can be heard. She is crying out to us to come to her. Where can wisdom be found? Where is it that she's crying out? Verse 2 and 3 of the Proverbs says, she takes her stand on the top of the hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city. She's not shrouded in darkness like the wayward woman over in the corner streets, hiding her deeds and hiding her schemes and hiding her ways from the public. No, Lady Wisdom is out in the open. She's in the daylight. She's at the high places, crying out from the hill. She's where she can be found. She can be seen. It's hard to miss her. She's there standing on the top of a hill or at the high place, beside the way where people go to and fro, where the paths meet, where people cross paths and see one another in a very, very public place. Yeah, she's even at the city gates where the elders would come and take counsel, where men would come and meet to do business and to make covenants. There's where she dwells, right out in the open where everybody can see her. Right out in the open where everybody can find her, at the city gates of the high places. I think Solomon is even thinking here that wisdom resides on a mountain. And if you just lift your eyes to that mountain, you will see her crying out and calling out to you. And don't we gather each Lord's Day at Zion to hear her crying out to us? To call out to us, where can wisdom be found? Where is the word of God read? Where is Christ proclaimed? Where is it that wisdom can be found? Is it not in the city of God? Is it not in Zion? Is it not in this public place where wisdom is poured out and poured forth from God's word to direct and lead you? Where can wisdom be found? Wherever God is speaking. And he is not stuttering. He is not quiet. He is crying out to us. Wisdom speaks. She speaks in public. She speaks in broad daylight. She has nothing to hide, but everything to give. And so, now that we know that wisdom can be found, we can learn from verses 4 and 5 that not only can wisdom be found, but wisdom wants to be found. She cries out, she calls out, she desires and longs for everyone to hear her. She wants to be found. She cries out by the city gates, yes, and at the entrance of the doors. But who is she calling out to? Verse 4 says, "To you, O men, I call." To you, O men, I call. She wants to be found by those who need wisdom, men and women who need wisdom in navigating the world. The fallen race of Adam, who apart from wisdom will continue just to fall and to slide into rebellion and transgressions and iniquities. She cries out to the sons of Adam, to the daughters of Eve. Oh men, oh sons of men, you young ones. She cries to the old and she cries out to the young. She's not leaving anyone out. She cries out to all. And she wants to be found by you. She wants to be found out by me. No one's left out here. Well, I've lived my years. What do I have left to learn? Oh, wisdom is inviting you to come and learn so much more. Well, I'm too young to understand. She is bidding you and begging you to come to her school, to sit at her feet, to learn from her ways. Oh, men and sons of men. She's crying out to all. But notice who else she cries out to in verses 5 and 6. She really wants to be found. She really wants to be found by those who don't even know they need her. She cries out to the simple ones. And if you remember last time we were together, the simple ones were the empty-headed ones, the ones without knowledge, the ones without instruction, the ones without teaching. Wisdom wants to be found by the simple ones. She's leaving no one out here. Those who don't even know they need her, she's crying out to them, "Come to me. You empty-headed ones, let me fill you with my good fruit, with my riches. Come to me, O simple ones." She longs to be heard by everyone. Is there anyone that she would leave out? No, because we learned in verse 5 that she even cries out to the fool. It's one thing to be empty-headed. It's a whole other thing to be hard-headed. to be to the point where you're almost unteachable. You've just grown so hard. You've grown so set in your ways that you are known as a fool. Wisdom can't even penetrate your conscience anymore. That would be a fool who goes his own way, not seeking instruction, just hard-headed, actually wrong-headed. Wisdom calls out to the fool, too. Because as long as we are alive, whether we old men or young men, whether we youth and simple, or whether we be old and fools, as long as we're alive, wisdom knows that we can be changed. So wisdom cries aloud to all people. Wisdom cries aloud to the fool. Wisdom cries aloud to the simple. Wisdom cries aloud to the young and to the old. And wisdom wants to be found because she has so much to give that will change and transform the one who lays hold of her. No one's left out here. Anyone can get in on this. All they need to do is pay attention. Pay attention to what? Pay attention to where she is, and pay attention to what she's saying. Well, how do we obtain wisdom? How do we obtain and hear what she has to offer? Well, that's the first word of verse 6. It gives us a command. It gives us instruction of where to begin when wisdom cries out and wisdom calls out to us. Whether we be old, whether we be young, whether we be empty-headed, or whether we be hard-headed, wisdom invites us to heed this command. Listen. Pay attention. Be attentive. Behold. Listen. To what? Listen to the voice of wisdom and notice the content of what she has to say. Listen to my words. I will speak first excellent things. Things of glorious wonders that are of more value than riches. Excellent things she offers to speak to us. She also says that she's going to open up her mouth, and from the opening of mouth of her lips, she will come right things. So excellent things are glorious and great things. Right things are straight things. They're not twisted. They're not curving. They can be trusted. It's a rule that is straight. It is a right thing that you can measure your life upon. You can weigh your life with. It will not lie. It is a true balance by which you can measure, by which you can navigate, by which you can correct your course. Your crooked way can be made straight by listening to wisdom's right things. Excellent things? Right things? She says in verse 7, "My mouth will speak truth." And I hear the voice of Francis Schaeffer in my head when I read the word truth so often. That's capital T truth. Solid truth. Truth that is unshakable. Truth that is eternal. Truth that can be trusted and has never failed. Wisdom is offering us excellent things. Right things. Solid truth. Upon which our lives can be built. Upon which we can stand. According to the truth. But she gives us a contrast here. Truth and contrast, what's coming out of her mouth are excellent things and right things and true things. And she can't be trusted because she says, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Be it far from wisdom to ever speak anything crooked or twisted. Be it far from wisdom to ever try to trick you. No, she gives you what you need. She gives you what you need, and it is excellent. It is right. It is true. She says, nothing crooked or perverse is in her words. They are all plain to him who understands. There we have to stop and think again. What does this require of us? We have to go to her. We have to look for her. And when we find her, we have to listen to her. But then we have to take in what she's saying into our ears, down into our hearts, and meditate upon it so that we might gain understanding. Not just knowledge, but what do we do with this knowledge? Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. It's one thing to have the information. It's another thing to put it into practice. And to the one who has understanding, what wisdom has to say will be made plain, will be made understandable, will become to you a way of walking in the world without fearing the fall. It's a straight path. It's a plain path. Wisdom, by God's grace, goes ahead of us, removing the obstacles, clearing the path, making the way plain for us if we will tend to her voice and gain understanding. Again, she says in verse 9, "They are all plain to him who understands, and again, right to those who find knowledge." Repeated words are a big deal in the scriptures. Excellent things, right things, true. And again, she emphasizes, they are right to those who find knowledge. There's no deceit in wisdom. There's no trickery in wisdom. She's not trying to pull one over on you. She seeks to give you all the light, all of the knowledge, all the understanding by which to navigate God's world according to his word. And she speaks so plainly. It's as if a kindergarten teacher, again, pulls out the alphabet and just begins to show you the elementary principles of life. A. 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 Apple. A is for apple. And you begin to understand how the language works. You begin to understand the rudiments of language. You begin to understand that letters have sounds, and sounds build words, and words build sentences, and sentences build paragraphs, and paragraphs build books, in which I love a lot, and those change the world. But better than that, once you learn the elementary principles of wisdom, you begin to understand God's word, his word, his will, his way. And she's just like a kindergarten teacher. Let me show you the basic principles so that you can mature and grow and walk in truth, possessing excellent things, right things, according to wisdom. In verses 10 and 11, she shows us how valuable her teaching is by saying, this wisdom that I'm giving to you, this instruction I'm giving to you, this understanding that I am depositing into your heart, if you will listen and understand. Oh, how valuable. Oh, how precious. Precious. Of greater value than silver. Of greater value than gold. Of greater value than precious stones. The things that we work for and labor for and sweat over. The things that we say are so precious and so valuable. Wisdom says, oh, my instruction is so much better. So much so, forfeit those things so that you might possess what I'm giving to you. Seek after her instruction as if they are silver. As if they are gold. As if they are rubies, because they're way more precious. Her words, her instruction. And verse 11 tells us that for wisdom is better, of greater value, of greater treasure than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. What is it that you desire? What is it that you long for? What is it that when nothing is demanding your attention, you really, really want deep down in your heart? What is the thing that you long for? What is it that you crave? Is it wisdom? Is it understanding? Is it knowledge? Is it excellent things? Truth? Right things? Because whatever you desire, when you think about how you answer those questions, those are just simple diagnostics to go, what is it that I desire? She's way more precious than that. She's way more valuable than that. And she's offering herself to you without price. Go to her. Look for her. You know where she's at. Listen for her. She's crying out to you. Lay hold of her, because there is nothing that can be compared to her. Remember a couple weeks ago, when we were together, we said, Solomon said, keep my words, and they will keep you from death. What Lady Wisdom is saying here is, come to me. You don't have to look too far. I'm easily found. Listen to me. I can be heard. I'm crying out. What are you looking for? What are you listening for? What do you desire? Because again, she tells us even more about herself. She tells us about her companions in verse 12. She says, I, wisdom. Look at her friends. I dwell with prudence. Prudence is simply, I am a way of discerning things. Do you find yourself in difficult circumstances where you need discernment? What choice should you make? Which way should you go? What direction should you aim your attention toward? What project demands your full investment of time and attention? Do you need discernment? Discernment, prudence, is a friend of wisdom. And where wisdom is, prudence and discernment can be found. And there, dwelling with wisdom is also knowledge. The information that you need to navigate the world. Wisdom says, she's right here with me. Do you need knowledge? Come to me. That's who I hang out with. That's who I dwell with. That's who I abide with. Prudence, knowledge, and discretion. Now, discretion is one of those words that we hear a lot, but what does it mean? What is discretion? To really understand it, go back to those simple questions that we ask in philosophy. What in the world am I here for? Why do I exist? What's the point of all this? And discretion gives you the answer by giving you purpose. Discretion shows you what life is about. It defines for you what you were made for. Do you need answers to those questions? That's where wisdom dwells, with discretion, with prudence, and with knowledge. But not only that, in verse 14 we see that counsel is her. Oh, how often we lack counsel. Sound wisdom and understanding, and how many of us are just flat out tired and just don't have any more energy or strength. Wisdom says, come to me. I have strength. I have understanding. I have counsel. I have sound wisdom. What are you lacking? Go to her. She offers it freely. But again, we have a contrast in verse 13 of all these things. Prudence and knowledge and discretion, counsel and sound wisdom, understanding and strength. There it is, the fear of the Lord. The reverencing of God as who He is and as He's revealed Himself. The covenant-keeping God, Yahweh, the fear of the Lord. What does it instruct us? What does it teach us in light of all these things? In contrast, it teaches us to hate evil. To hate the wrong way. To hate, not love, but hate. To despise pride and arrogance and the evil way. The fear of the Lord teaches us to hate those things. Christian wisdom appropriately recalibrates your hating mechanism. It's all right to hate. But you must hate the right things. Excuse me. Hate the right things. What should we hate? The pride that so easily creeps up in our heart, that makes us think more than ourselves than we really are. The pride that keeps us standing up stiff with our backs and our chests out, trying to make it on our own way. Hate that. The fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God, breaks that pride. Arrogance, that high-mindedness, that lofty thinking, that making your own way in the world according to your light, according to your will, according to your way. Hate that according to the fear of the Lord. And despise the way that is crooked and not according to God's way. And in order for us to do that, we need to go to wisdom. We need to set up camp and dwell with prudence. We need to abide with knowledge and discretion. We need counsel. We need sound wisdom. We need understanding. And in order for the pride and arrogance and evil way of man to be broken, we need strength. The strength that only God can provide to tear down the arrogant, prideful, evil heart of man. And wisdom offers it to us. And she says, have you heard what I'm offering to you? Have you seen these glorious, beautiful truths that I'm giving to you? They're so precious. They're so valuable. Are you going to lay hold of them? Because according to wisdom here, in verse 15 and 16, she says, this wisdom that she's making available to you, it's what causes kings to reign in goodness and in justice and in truth. She establishes kings. And she's offering that instruction to you and to me. She also says, and rulers decree justice. They do what is right according to God's will and according to his word. She's offering that same instruction and wisdom that she gives to rulers who are just to you and to me. She says that the princes and the nobles rule, and all the judges of the earth rule. It's just another way of saying reigning over their life, reigning over their kingdom. Do you want to navigate the world like a good king, like a wise judge, like a just ruler? Wisdom is offering all the resources that you need. Go to her. Look for her. She wants to be found. Listen for her. She's crying out. But when you find her, and when she speaks to you, she tells us in verse 15 what to do then. Love her. Embrace her. Bring her close to your heart. And do not let her go. Because she gives a special promise to those who love her. Verse 17 says, I love those who love me. She embraces those who embrace her. Go now. Look for her. Listen for her. And when you find her, love her. And don't give up loving her. Because she says, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Be persistent in your pursuit of wisdom. Be diligent. Wake up with eagerness, longing to meet with her, longing to be with her, longing to hear from her. Do you need wisdom? Diligently seek her, and she'll make herself known to you. Because wisdom wants to be found. Wisdom can be found. What are you looking for? What are you listening for? Let's go back to that question of desire. Is that not just another way of saying, what is it that you love? What is it that captivates your heart's affections? If you go to wisdom and you embrace wisdom with all that you have, she will love you. And she will love you well. Because it says in verse 18 that Riches and honor are with me. This is just another way of saying those blessings of the what she bestows on us. Riches and honor are with her. Enduring riches and righteousness. Do you long to live according to God's way in his world? Go to wisdom. She will instruct you in right living. Consider her fruit. Again, it's better than gold. Better than fine gold. Consider her. She's way more precious than silver. And when you walk with her, when you abide with her, when you dwell with her and prudence and knowledge and discretion and counsel and sound wisdom and understanding and strength, you will be walking on the path of righteousness. You will be walking on the way of righteousness. You will be in the midst of the path of justice with her. And what does she give you? She gives you everything that she has, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. So much so that they will lack nothing. They will lack nothing. Now, is this just simple instructions for us to get healthy, wealthy, and wise in a couple easy steps like look for wisdom, listen for wisdom, love wisdom, and I'm going to get rich? Maybe. But the promise isn't that you will grow in material wealth. The promise is you will grow in riches that cannot fade. You will grow in wisdom that cannot be taken away. You will gain an inheritance that is kept for you in a kingdom where moth and rust cannot destroy. You will be given what you need more than anything. You'll be shown the way. You'll be shown the path. You'll be shown the plain, straight road that leads right to the heart of Jesus. And Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And Psalm 16 tells us that there at God's right hand are treasures. Innumerable treasures there that are there for our taking forevermore. Where is wisdom leading you? Where is wisdom taking you? She's taking you straight to the way of salvation that leads to the heart of Christ. And there's nothing more that we need to navigate God's world according to his word other than Jesus. The most precious, the most valuable, the most beautiful thing that has ever walked the earth. Wisdom leads you straight to him. Because wisdom, yes, personified here in Proverbs 8 as a woman, is revealed to us in the New Testament as a man who walked among us, a light that shined in the darkness, a truth that spoke in the villages of Galilee, a truth that was proclaimed. He spoke to the people in Jerusalem. Is wisdom not the gospel that you hear week in and week out? Wisdom leads us back here each and every Lord's Day to meet with Jesus, to come back to Zion, to the high place, to hear God's word spoken to us. And she offers us Christ, the most beautiful treasure the heart can possess. The inheritance that God has promised to those who love him. God desires to bless you with riches that are better than gold, better than silver, that are better than precious stones. And what does he offer to you? His precious Son. Wisdom leads to Christ. So, do you want that most valuable treasure? Again, look for her. She can be found. Listen for wisdom. She is speaking. But when you find her, love her diligently. Cling to her. Because when you find her, she'll lead you straight to Christ, who becomes for you the one thing that's more precious than anything this world can offer. Salvation. What do you need? What do you long for? What do you desire? Christ is made present to you in this offer of wisdom. Do you need instruction? Do you need knowledge? Do you need understanding? Come to Jesus. Come to Him who speaks to you His word to make you wise unto salvation according to faith. So look for Him. He can be found. Listen to Him. He's crying out. Love Him, and He will save you. And Paul, instructing his protege Timothy in the faith, acknowledges that he has heard the words of Scripture. He has been in the hearing of the wisdom of the Scriptures for a very young age, but he needs reminding still to be diligent in his love for God's Word so that he might be made wise for salvation. He tells Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, continue in these things. Meeting with wisdom once is not enough. You need to continue in these things. The truths of the gospel, the truths of God's word, we need to continue in them. Those things which we have learned and been assured of. Knowing from whom you have learned them. Who's a wise friend? Who do you take counsel with in your fellowship here? Who do you look to as a person who has walked with the Lord and has been diligently seeking wisdom and walking according to those words? Aren't they trustworthy? Aren't they reliable? Who did you learn the Scriptures from? Timothy learned from Paul for sure, but he also learned from his grandmother and his mother as well. Ladies, be diligent to instruct and teach and to give counsel. Point the way to wisdom. Show your children where wisdom is, where she can be heard, and show them how to love her by going to her yourself and leading them there with you. Men, take up other men and walk toward wisdom's way with them, because some of us really need you. Some of us are still very simple-minded. Maybe even some of us are just flat-out fools. And we need someone with understanding and knowledge to come and say, come along with me and walk wisdom's way with me. Timothy had his grandmother and his mother and many other followers of Christ, but especially Paul, who instructed him in these things. And Paul said again in verse 15, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You have laid hold of them. You have understanding. What do? What do they produce? Again, it bestows a blessing on us of greater value than gold. The Scriptures, the Word of Christ, bestow on us wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Wisdom of salvation. Wisdom of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It can be yours. The wisdom that you need that leads to salvation is made available to all who will believe in Him now. Trust Him. What you need more than anything, salvation is available. You can be wise. Come to Christ. Cling to Christ. Maybe what we just need to say is, again, look for Him. Listen to Him. Lay hold of Him and love Him. Because He loves you. And He wants to give you everything He possesses. Of greater value than gold. Of greater value than silver. Of greater value than precious stones. What does Christ give us? He gives us Himself. And that is precious. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word, this time we've had to open it to be instructed by your word to walk in wisdom. Father, we ask that you would now apply these things to our heart, that we'd be attentive to wisdom's voice, to her cry in the high place, that we not only just look for wisdom, but we'd listen and be diligent in our listening, and hearing to understand and to comprehend and to know, that we might walk. We thank you that you have loved us with such a great love, that in loving you, we receive even more love, to return back to you in great gratitude and praise. Father, thank you for wisdom made available to us. We thank you that it can be found. But Lord, we need to be instructed and continue in these things, because they are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So teach us to be diligent, to wake up and to walk to the gates, to be with wisdom, so that we might save our lives. Because you have saved us so powerfully. Help us to look. Help us to listen. Teach us to love you more, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.